We're very thankful to have Ken Hartman and Karen with us today, and Ken has offered to share with us, and we're just very, very pleased. So, Ken.
I love you, brother.
I love you. You get a big hug, too.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here. Praise God for an opportunity to come share today, visit. You know, it's in our faith, only in our faith, that that we can show up with heavy hearts and yet have that quiet sense of peace all at the same time. I thank God for that and for the new eyes He's given me to see the world the way that I can see it now. Praise be to God. I grieve for the loss of three with you. But there's a reason that we're going to celebrate her life, and that's because she had a life worth celebrating. A beautiful woman of the faith. Got to watch her daughter grow up in the faith. And a lot of you know what that's like. And then she married a man of faith. What a joy, what a blessed woman. Last week, Karen brought home a big puzzle piece to the house, and we often get together at the end of the day and kind of debrief, talk about things. And on the puzzle, it says, "Be patient. Sometimes God only shows you one piece of the puzzle at a time." And so that sparked the conversation with us, and we're laughing and crying, rejoicing in the many ways that God's revealed Himself to us through times of pain and trials. Fear and confusion. And in that moment, I'm looking at God's grace, reflecting, you know, through the tears of joy in my wife's eyes. And I'm thinking, I'm just overwhelmed how unbelievable it is, the life that we get to live. And I get to sit with this woman, my partner, and deal with all that life brings to us. And then the phone rings. And then life reveals to us a new set of burdens of loss and fear and confusion for our lives and the people in our lives and the people we care about. The burden of uncertainty. And through all these things, we seek Christ. The comfort and the peace and the freedom that He gives. We seek the support of each other in the body of Christ. Karen and I have a couple of granddaughters that are local. We've been able to be a part of their lives. And I'd like to share a little of that joy with you this morning. Our youngest one's 8 now. Her name's Winter. And she's a beautiful little child, task-oriented, highly active like me. We get along. We've been good buds for a long time, and she knows I'm a carpenter by trade and a handyman. She loves to work on things and fix things. She'll come and say, "I want to build a jewelry box for my mother," and so we'll cut up the pieces, and she'll use the sander, and we're having a wonderful time together. She's in a wonderful place in her mind when she has a task and she's doing something. And from time to time, she'll bring over things that she can that are broken and she needs to fix. One time in particular, she brought over, I don't remember what the toy was, she brought over some toy that was a mess. And we sat down after dinner and we fixed it. And then at the end of it all, she's just filled with joy. And she's just bouncing around and squealing with joy. She says, "I can't, you fixed it, you fixed it." She calls me Papa Ken. She says, "Papa Ken, you can fix anything. Even if the moon popped, you could fix it, huh, Papa Ken?" And I thought in that moment, I was just overwhelmed with the humility of the reality that God has allowed me to be built into a man that this child can believe in on that level. It's just remarkable. And how did that happen? By the grace of God and a lot of help of others. Karen Winter's been going to church with us from time to time. She'll stay Saturday night. They have a little child's ministry she goes into, and she'll come bopping out at the end, and I'll say, "How'd that go?" She said, "It was great. I want to come back." And my heart's swelling, and Karen's crying, and we get in the car and drive off. And we'll ask her about what she's learned. She's learned about God and Jesus, and they're singing songs and doing arts and crafts. And, Winter and I were driving down the road together, just the two of us, a few weeks back. And she said, "Papa Ken, what do you got to do to be a Christian?" And I couldn't see the road. All of a sudden, my eyes were just filled, and I was fear-filled because I'm not equipped to do the things to explain to this child about that. And then I just took a deep breath and said, "You're already doing it, sweetheart. You just got to talk to God. Tell him you want to know his son. You want to know what his plan for you is, and that you want him to help you make it through life." And so she just smiled and said, "Okay, thanks." And we drove on down the road. And her mind just moved on. She was, anyway, it was a, needless to say, it was a moment for us. She gets to look at Christmas this year differently than she did last year, you know it? And we're getting ready to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the creation of my salvation and your salvation. And at the same time, I'm also faced with the reality of the cross. You know, the cross at the time of Jesus' life was, you know, a terrible implement of death, and a death, painful and embarrassing death beyond comprehension. And for me, the cross symbolizes a number of things. For one, it's the need for the death of self. And without the death of self, I can't enjoy the things that I get to enjoy and have the trust of my wife, that she knows she's married to a man that she can believe in. And it represents the battle between the things of the earth and the things of God. And that struggle between my carnal mind and the things of my flesh and the spirit that God's given me. And I need to be in this battle. Jesus said, "If you want to follow me, you've got to pick up your cross daily." It's a daily battle. The Apostle Paul says it's not going to be easy. But he encourages us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And thank God for the Scriptures. They lay out a way for us to do that in order to be equipped to deal with life. I need to be transformed. I need to embrace the Word of God, what it offers me. I need to be engaged in the battle daily. If I want to grow in Christ and I want Christ to grow in me, some things have been revealed to me that I need to do. And prayer and study, a time of worship, fellowship, and service to others. These are the things that equip me to wear the armor of God. And the good news is, all these things are available right here in this fellowship. And they've been delivered through us by the leaders of this fellowship for year after year after year. The Apostle Paul had a young man he was mentoring named Timothy. I'm sure you're aware of a second letter he sent to him. He sent him letters of encouragement and admonishment. And one of the favorite verses in regards to what we're currently talking about growing up in Christ and the value of that and the rewards of that, is in 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, "Do your best to present yourself as one approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed of the Word of God." And that's my objective. You know, I don't want to act like a Christian. I want to be a solid Christian man. And that's available to me. This time of year, Karen and I spend some time reflecting on the year, what it's brought, how our faith has played out. And as we look back on the year, we had a year not unlike yours. You know, we celebrated new birth. We grieved with death. We watched new marriages. We suffered through divorces. Financial struggles, physical crisis, all of it, you know. And the truth is that life doesn't stop, but thank God, neither does God. His grace is sufficient to pull us through all of that. His love and support, and the love and support of the body of Christ, is what helps us be who we are. You know, we live a wonderful life. few years ago, our granddaughters, we have two of them, the youngest one you met earlier, Winter, her name's Winter, and the older one is Lauren. She's a freshman in high school this year. A few years ago, they were being affected by some things in life that they didn't have any control over. It was hard for Karen and I to watch. It was painful, frustrating, and at times we feel helpless. And we want to rescue them. So we think about, and we pray, and we talk about, and we want to be ambassadors of Christ. Our commitment to these child, to these children, to each other, is to be a consistent, mature source of love and support for them, no matter what. We're committed to every time they show up over to our house, they meet the same people. And by the grace of God, I've been able to watch that happen. Karen and my oldest granddaughter, Lauren, are tight. And they spend a lot of time together. Karen takes her on Fridays. She has a kind of a mixed schedule. She's involved in a number of extracurricular activities. One of them is playing a viola. Karen goes to lunch with her. Takes her to a viola lesson. And then when I get home from work that night, you know, during our time of debriefing and rejoicing and sharing our sorrows and our failures and our victories, she'll share stories of Lauren and the things that Lauren's doing. And you know, Lauren's a young woman. She's developing her own autonomy, her worldview, the principles that guide her life. And just this week, just this Friday, Karen, the Lord blessed me with a wonderful moment of clarity and a spiritual mile marker on my path that I will never forget. And I'm listening to Karen share the way that Lauren is interacting with her peers and how she's handling certain things and what she stands for. And she'll say, "Well, you know, this was the situation, and this is what I did, Grandy." She called her Grandy. "And this is what I did, just like you would, huh, Grandy?" And so, in that moment, I realize that I'm watching all the things that the Lord has instilled in my wife, all the strength and confidence and the principles to live by are being reflected right back to us through our granddaughter. Can you believe it? And I'm looking at my wife, and I'm just in awe. Ted mentioned that this morning in his opening prayer, that we are in awe of God. I'm constantly in awe of God. And he also mentioned the word covered. We are covered in all these situations, the good and the bad. Grateful to be a part of those girls' lives. I never knew that I could be the type of man that people could count on like that. That little child could believe in me, and that our granddaughter Lauren could believe in Karen in the way that she does. And when I know that they are spending time together, my heart is in a safe place. The child is in a safe place. She's a little woman that has nothing but her best interest at heart. Sig told me a lot of years ago, he said, "In quietness and in confidence is where our real strength lies." And that's what Karen and I try to do in regards to our children. We just try to quietly and confidently walk forward in our faith, and through demonstration and consistency, it's brought about a part where I am seeing what God has done in our lives develop in the lives of people we really care about. And the same thing's happening in your life. Praise God. As we wrap up this year, and look at the things that happen, you know, right and wrong, we get to look forward from this moment. I get to look forward with the scriptures in mind, and one in particular I want to share with you in closing today. I know, Paul writes this to the Corinthians in his first letter to them. He says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Is that the truth or what? I've seen it again and again. I love this fellowship, what it represents, my long history with you. I'm grateful for all that you do in and around your community and in your families. God bless y'all. Thanks.